4-2 St. Louis. That ball's hit hard and deep to left. And that is a big fly. Cardinal third baseman Nolan Arenado. The third home run of the game for the Redbirds. And it's 5-2 St. Louis.
Ricky Horton, John Rooney on the call on KMOX last night as the Cards get a win after a losing streak. We're joined now by Tom Ackerman at the Newbold BMW Toyota Sports Desk. What'd you make of last night's game?
Hooray! Hooray! They won! They won a game. It's awesome. Good crowd, about 42,000. I was over at the track, at the IndyCar track last night, but I was keeping track of the game. I had it on my phone. I was watching it, and, you know, nationally televised game. You had the big Fox crew in town, and everybody was excited to see Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers, and I'm sure people are tuning in from around the country and perhaps in parts of the world, and then the Cardinals won the ballgame. And it's good for the Cardinals, but there's a long way to go. They're 10 out in the division, and they're 4 out in the wild card, but it's not over yet. They are a game under 500, and they need to work on the record. But it was a good, solid win. You know, they actually hit 3 home runs on Friday and lost the ball game. So this time they hit 3 home runs again, and they win the game, and they get better pitching. Miles Michaelis gave up not much, and then the bullpen ended up losing the game on Friday. Yesterday, Andre Pallante didn't give up much. He just went deeper into the game. Cardinals kept him in for 7 innings. Romero and Helsley finish it off. So just a good, solid win. You know, Alec Burleson's had a great year. Mason Wynn's had a great year, both of them with big home runs and big hits. Nolan Arenado, who has not had a great year but is trying to recapture something here towards the end, not his typical year, I should say. He always plays well, but he just hasn't been able to deliver at the plate. He hit an insurance home run, and the Cardinals won the game, and it's a good win. 5-2 over the Dodgers, and they go for a series win today. And who knows? I mean, they get a win today. You maybe pick up a little steam. The Brewers come into town ready to put you away for good. If you are able to flip the script and get on a run, you could inch a little closer to them. But I think the wild card at this point is a little more attainable, although that one seems like a steep hill to climb. You got 3 teams that own the spots. The Mets are a game out, and you've got other teams ahead of you right now in that wild card standing. That's the problem, is that, you know, you sit here, if you're a game under 500, you don't belong in the playoffs, and that's where the Cardinals are right now. The wild card has them at 4 out along with the Giants, and then the Mets are a game out of the wild card. That's where they are, but hey, still got to play these games. Big crowds expected again today. Should be a fun atmosphere at the ballpark.
Is there anything the Cardinals can do from a roster or I mean lineup standpoint or a rotation that might give them a little boost?
Well, there's not a lot they can do, Scott. I mean, they're sitting there yesterday with a pretty regular, normal lineup, I would say. I mean, I wouldn't go anything beyond what they did. Wynn, Burleson, Contreras, Donovan, Arenado, Nootbaar, Goldschmidt, Gorman, Scott. That was the lineup. Now, you could argue that Jordan Walker should be in there, whether he's facing a lefty or not. And I would assume he's going to be in there today because Kershaw is a lefty, and that's why they said they brought him up, is to help face left-handed pitching. You could argue that Walker should be playing every day over maybe Nootbaar, if you wanted to make that argument, although Nootbaar is a better defender. But other than that, I'm not sure he's going to save you. I mean, they could just hit better. I mean, the lineup that's out there, I mean, just be better, you know. And Goldschmidt was 0-for-4 yesterday. You know, he's batting 7th in the order. Victor Scott's in there for defense, doesn't give you much offensively. He's hitting 115. Nolan Gorman's hitting 205. He's been striking out a lot. I mean, they could use Goldschmidt, Gorman, and Arenado hit a home run yesterday, being better. Nootbaar being better offensively, and that would certainly help. Rotation, there's not much they can do there either. I mean, there's no magic person that's just going to join the rotation and help them out. They just got to be better, and they are wearing down a little bit down the stretch. Could they use Lance Lynn? Sure. And Lance Lynn threw a bullpen yesterday, and that might be able to help him a little bit. But Michaelis has got to be better. He gets paid to be a top starter. Kyle Gibson would be the first to tell you, as Miles would, got to be better. He wasn't good enough in his last start. Sonny Gray, a lot on his shoulders today to get the win and win this series, but the Cardinals need to help him out. you know, the Cincinnati series was just dismal. You know, they did not have anything going, and they never even got to their pen. I mean, Helsley pitched last night. He hasn't pitched in a week. So, you know, they have to be able to get back to that formula. If they're going to make a desperate run here to the end, everything's got to be clicking at once, and it definitely starts with starting pitching, giving the team a chance to win.
Every fan's hope, just be better.
I mean, that's it. Yeah. I mean, that's really it. I mean, you can pin it on a lot of people. You can point the finger all you want, but, you know, it is a collective thing here. The Cardinals just have not been able to produce at the level they were expected to.
All right, tell me about your experience at Worldwide Technology yesterday.
It was just a phenomenal race. It really was. I have been there many, many times. I've been covering racing there for a long time, going back to the late 90s. And when it comes to IndyCar, I've not seen a better one there. I think in the past, you know, we've seen good racing. And, you know, sometimes you just run into bad luck. You know, you have a lot of cautions, a lot of yellow flags. This time was not the case, and even when there were some big spinouts, like Joseph Newgarden spinning out on lap 196, he was able to recover. He ends up winning the race. I think there was some controversy towards the end in that with eight laps to go, there was a crash on a restart. They had to go with the red flag and stop the race. Will Power jumped out of his car after he crashed and, you know, gave Joseph Newgarden the finger, and you had Scott McLaughlin apparently was upset downstairs thinking the Newgarden did something, a little stop and start. I talked to Joseph about it, and you'll hear the interview at the top of Sports on a Sunday Morning where, you know, he watched on TV and felt bad but didn't feel like he did anything wrong, that perhaps the green came on just a touch late or something like that, and he sort of hesitated. We'll hear his explanation. But going back to what I said about the exciting race, I mean, it was crazy fun. I mean, there were just like passes one after the other. There were a total of, and I love the people who count these, 676 passes in this race. That is a monster number. There were 21 lead changes in this race. That is actually a record for Worldwide Technology Raceway. So that's fun. And when they're Indy cars, nothing against NASCAR. NASCAR is amazing and super popular and people love it. But there's something slick about watching these open wheel vehicles rip past each other at, you know, 180 miles per hour, close to 200 miles per hour. And it's exciting. You kind of like hold your breath as these cars fly by, and in turns one and two even, you know, making moves out there where it's really tight and then opening it up for three and four. I think it was a very entertaining race. All things considered, I think that the drivers would tell you that exact thing, even the ones that are upset that they weren't able to come through. And the reason that things are getting a little hot right now is they're closing in on their championship. So there were a lot of guys trying to pick up some points here to get into this championship chase. And Newgarden, for the fifth time, wins at this track. And now he's actually top 10 all-time in race wins. So a little bit of history last night at the track.
What I like about IndyCar is that the cars are all the same, pretty much, and because of the regulations, whereas NASCAR, you can do a lot with the cars. So it's about the drivers in IndyCar. And they, you know, they have personalities, and it makes it more fun to the non-serious, you know, fan, to the casual fan.
Sure. Yeah, I understand that. And it is entertaining. I think that NASCAR has an appeal, and there's a coolness factor about NASCAR. You know, the guys, I love talking to those guys, and I really appreciate everything that NASCAR has built. It feels very big, but there's a classic thing and a personal thing for me, having grown up around IndyCar and going over Indianapolis from here and watching races with my dad, and like the sound is very familiar, the cars, the drivers, you know, I've been following them my whole life, and I don't even really have to have earplugs when I'm at IndyCar. NASCAR, those cars are so loud. I have to. I mean, it's I love it, but I'm familiar with the IndyCar sound and feel, and I always get chills when they come ripping around turn four and they come screaming down the stretch for that first green flag. I mean, it's just awesome. So yeah, it was a really good day overall. I think that people had fun. I think the weather cooled off too. There was a nice breeze going through there. The crowd was good. It's not as big as the NASCAR crowd, but Joseph Newgarden told me he thought the crowd looked great. He felt like from his viewpoint that it was double what they had last year. I don't know. I'd have to see what the attendance figures are, but it was a good crowd. I think people had fun. Next year, it's going to be Father's Day weekend, so we don't have to wait too long for the next IndyCar race. It'll be 10 months from now, and Chris Blair, the GM of the track, teased us on Sports on a Sunday morning and said that NASCAR has a big announcement coming about our race. So we will brace ourselves for that and see what they have in store, as Curtis Francois is always coming up with something new with his track. So that should be fun.
Well, it just seems like that track and Curtis and the region embracing racing is there's a lot of momentum there, I feel like.
Yeah, we are a good racing town. And I think it does start at the top with Curtis. The drivers love him. The owners love him. The sponsors love him. I think the governing bodies of these circuits, you know, really like him a lot. I mean, they love him. He can speak to them as a CEO, but he can also walk into the garage and talk to the guys who are fixing the cars, the mechanics, because he wants raced as well. So he understands everybody, you know, and like you would see him fixing something at the track and not know he's the owner of the track. Like, he gets his hands dirty and he's out there working. And, you know, I think people really respect and appreciate him. So it's been a collective effort by everybody over there, but it really does start at the top with these sports teams and organizations. And Curtis Francois definitely is that.
What else do you have coming up, Sports on a Sunday morning?
Well, we will talk a lot of baseball. Ollie Marmol is with us at 10:15, and John Mozeliak in his usual spot at 11:30. Lutz VandenSteel, a little soccer at 11:15. And we also have some soccer with Katie Shields. They are off and running, 12th-ranked team in the country. We'll be playing number 3 BYU on Thursday, and she's the head coach of the SLU women's soccer team. She's with us at 10:30. So we got a lot going on, full show. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk some NHL. And everything in between. Sports on a Sunday morning from 10 to 12.
Sounds good, Tom. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. It is Total Information AM Sunday. Stay tuned.
And now...